honoring our parents. And I'd like to start this year off with telling you something that I don't think I've ever said here at Torah Academy in all my years, but as a real thank you to my father, Zechut Tzadik Livracha. My father passed away a little bit over five years ago. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about my personal history. Believe it or not, I was not brought up religious. And I became religious when I was 12 years old. And the story is really phenomenal, but it's really all about who my dad was. In Muncie, at that particular time, they didn't have Muncie trails. They didn't have any type of Muncie tours, any type of bus company. And my father used to go out of his way. My father, of course, lived in Muncie, and my father's store was in Washington Heights, right over the GW Bridge. But my father would make sure to go out of his way in order to go to the place where people would be waiting to try to get rides. Any of you who know the Muncie area, it was the old Yeshiva Spring Valley building that now is another building. And my father would pick up people and take them to the city, and he would take people back. Our phone used to always be ringing for people that wanted a ride, a free ride, of course, to the city. And my father made sure to always provide whatever he could for everyone. One time, though, he picked up this person. His name was Rabbi Avraham Lieberman. And when Rabbi Lieberman came into the car, three other guys came and sat in the back seat. And the entire time, they were screaming and yelling at each other. My father thought that they were going to kill each other. And my father asked Rabbi Lieberman, "What the heck is going on here?" And he said, "Oh, Mr. Grossman, they're learning. They're learning Torah. And that's what they're having a debate about." And what happened was is that this Rabbi Lieberman made a kollel in Washington Heights, and he left out one detail, how the guys from the kollel were going to get back and forth from Muncie to the kollel. And my father ended up providing the ride. Every single day, my father would take these four people to the city. Every day they would meet my father where my father parked his car, and my father would take them back to Muncie. Believe it or not, it was towards the end of the school year, and Rabbi Lieberman said, "We can't continue to do this for free. We've got to pay you." So my father said, "No, I would never take any money from anybody." And no, he kept bothering. And they would not actually get out of the car. And then my father said, "Well, if you want to pay me, believe it or not, summer vacation is starting. Why don't you learn with my son a little bit?" And I cannot tell you that I hated Talmidei Chachamim like Rabbi Akiva did, right? Those of you that know the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva said, "I would bite a Talmud Chacham like a donkey bites, not like a dog bites." And Rashi explained that when a donkey bites, not only does it rip the skin, it actually breaks the bone. But I wasn't exactly fond of religious orthodoxy by any stretch of the imagination. Anyway, so my father worked it out with his Rabbi Lieberman that on Tuesday nights we were going to learn together. And the only way that I would actually sit there was if my father would sit with me and probably hold on to me. And my father used to lie to me, and I used to fall for it every week. "We're going to a Yankee game, we're going to Little League, we're going here, we're going there." It always happened to be Tuesday night at the exact same time. I wasn't the brightest child. And I would a lot of times wear my Yankee stuff or wear my Little League stuff, whatever it may be, and we always ended up in Rabbi Lieberman town, and we ended up learning. And one thing led to another. Finally, I got used to it, and then I told my dad, "You don't have to come anymore. I'm going to continue to come." Then during the actual summer, we ended up learning every single day together. And then I went to yeshiva, and the rest is history. At Baruch Hashem, I just completed my 34th year of teaching. So I'd like to begin by saying that I owe literally everything in my life to my dad, because of the fact that if my father would have never picked up the kollel guys, and if my father never would have asked for that payment, And if my father would have never sat with me and forced me in order to be able to learn Torah, I never would have done it, and I never would have became who I became. So therefore, today on Father's Day, I'd like to publicly and now on tape thank my dad for everything that he did, and I tried to reciprocate as much as I possibly could in order to make him proud. And I know when Rabbi Adler made the Shiva call 5 years ago when my father passed away, when Rabbi Adler left, he said, all I can tell you, Rabbi Grossman, is that your father was really, really proud of you. So I picked for the topic for us the ultimate in Kibbutz, the ultimate in how are we supposed to honor and respect our parents. So again, all of you know that there are two different psukim in the Torah. One of them, again, of course, is Kaved es aviv v'es imecha, that we have to honor our parents. But we also have another pasuk of ish imo v'aviv kirahu, a man, his mother and father, they shall fear. And in a minute, I'm going to show you what the difference is between kibud, honor, and mora, fear. It doesn't really mean fear, it really means awe. The awe that we should have for our respective parents. But I'd like to start with a line from the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, it begins with the following line in Simin Reish Mem Sif Aleph. Sarach Lizoyer Ma'od. A person has to be very careful, B'Kibud Av V'Emo, with honoring his parents, U'B'Mora'am, and with having awe for them. Because of the fact that this mitzvah is so important, and as I'll show you in a second, so difficult, so therefore we have to be very, very careful with this mitzvah. How difficult is the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Em? So listen to this unbelievable medrash, and the medrash is found in Medrash Tanhuma in Parshas Akev. And it tells us the following. Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learned, Shtei mitzvos gila HaKadosh Baruch Hu matan svara. There are only two mitzvos. If you look through the entire Torah, you'll notice that there are only two mitzvos that the reward is written right next to them. Achas kala shevakalos. One of them is the easiest mitzvah in the Torah. V'achas chamura shevakamuros. And the other one is the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah. The Elohein, and these are those mitzvos. Kala shebekalos, the easiest mitzvah in the Torah, is shiluach hakan, is sending away the mother bird in order to take the baby bird. V'sham tziv, and what does the pasuk say about this mitzvah? V'arachta yamim, the mitzvah, the reward is going to be that your days are going to be extended. V'chavura shebechavuros, and what's the most difficult mitzvah in the entire Torah? Is kibud av v'em. The Medrash says, is honoring your parents. Shabbat Siv, and what does the Torah say about that mitzvah? L'man yaricha yamecha, in order that your days should be extended. Well, if the easiest mitzvah in the Torah, the reward is long life, and the hardest mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah is long life, hari hein shavin v'matan scharan v'olam hazeh. It's in order to teach us, the Medrash says, that all mitzvahs, the same exact reward is going to be. And what's the reward? Whatever one of the 613 mitzvahs that we do, the reward is going to be long life. Well, it happens to be an unbelievable chinuch, right? Those of you that are familiar, the chinuch wrote a sefer describing the 613 mitzvahs, so that his son would be able to learn them weekly on this particular weekly parsha or that particular weekly parsha and know exactly what mitzvahs there are. And not only about the mitzvah, but about the root of the mitzvah. Yishar Sheya mitzvah. What is the mitzvah driving at? And the Sefer HaChinuch writes the following. Just for time constraint, I won't read it inside. It's Mitzvah Lamed Gimel if you ever want to look it up. But I'll tell it to you outside. And he says the following beautiful idea. That the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av V'Em is in order to teach us, so to speak, as a prelude to the mitzvah of honoring God Himself. Why? Because if we realize, why should we honor our parents? Because out of respect for what they did for us when we were babies. When we were babies, they changed us, they fed us, They make sure that we had shelter, etc., etc., and all of the love, of course, that our parents hopefully bestowed on us. Well, now, when our parents are going to be getting older, and we're going to be getting older, what do we have to do? We have to reciprocate, and we have to help out our parents in whatever way we can possibly do it. And the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, that teaches us about our love affair that we should have with God Himself. That we should realize, you know what God does for us? Literally everything, right? As some of you know, the Gemara tells us that there are three partners in the formation of a human being. We get certain things from our mother, the red part, certain parts from our father, our white part. And what do we get from God? Everything else. God is able to breathe into us the idea that we're going to be able to be alive, we'll be able to see, we'll be able to hear, we'll be able to walk, etc., etc. So therefore, if we realize that God is doing all of these things for us, we'll learn from the mitzvah of Kippah Avaim that we should in turn show this tremendous amount of respect to God Himself. Well, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Kippah Avaim? A long, long time ago, when I was a student in the YU Beis Medrash, in the YU Kollel, I spoke to Rabbi Schechter about this particular mitzvah, and he said to me, you know what, I could explain the mitzvah of Kippah Avaim in one word. I said, in one word? What are you talking about? So he said, yeah, the one word is service. That we are obligated to honor our parents, it means that we are obligated to do things for our parents, to give them service. Listen to how the Gemara actually tells us in the Sechas Kedushin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Bey. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learn, Eizehu Mora ve'Eizehu Kibbutz. What does it mean to be in awe of your parents? What does it mean to honor your parents? Mora, what does it mean to show off for your parents? Lo omei b'mekomo, you're not allowed to stand in his place. If your mother or father has a place in your house, or in the shul, or anywhere where they stand, that's their place, you're never allowed to stand there. Below Yoshev and Makomo, you're not allowed to sit in their place. I had a guest over at my house, and he saw where I was sitting at the table on a night for dinner, and he said to me, I don't understand, why aren't you sitting at the head of the table? And I said, because it was my parents' house, and that's my father's seat. So he said, well, your father passed away 5 years ago. I said, yeah, but it's still my father's seat. And I've never sat in my father's seat, not in his lifetime, and not even after he passed away. Velo soser estuvarav. This is good for our Talmidim, whose fathers are present. And that is, you're never allowed to contradict your dad. If your dad says that it's raining outside, you can't say, what are you talking about? It's beautiful, 90-degree day today. You're not allowed to do that. Below Machrio, and you're not even allowed to decide. Let's say your father and the next door neighbor are having some type of a discussion. Let's say one of them says that the Yankees are the best team in New York, and the other one, a little bit crazy, says the Mets are the best team in New York. You're not allowed to say, oh no, my father is right, or my father is wrong. No, that's none of your business. That would be like a minor leaguer talking about a major leaguer, oh, we should do this and this as far as his stance is concerned. No, it's none of your business, a minor leaguer to a major leaguer. It's none of your business as far as when your father, guys, take stuff, that if your father is involved in anything. Kibud, and what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor your parents? Again, as Rabbi Schechter said, it means service. Michael, you have to give your parents food. Umashke, you have to give your parents drink. Malbish, you have to give them clothing. Again, you'll all hopefully be able to experience this as your parents get older, that they might need help as far as getting dressed is concerned. Umechase, and you have to make sure that your parents have shelter, whether it's going to be a house, an apartment, some other type of facility, to make sure that they're safe. And then finally, machnis umotzi. You're going to have to be able to take your parents in and take your parents out. When your parents are going to be getting older, so they're going to need physical help. Okay, I can tell you myself, one of the things that my mother, Alei Shalom, used to tell us is that when my mother used to go to the beauty parlor every Friday, that was her big thing. And as she was getting older, she turned to my sisters and myself, and she said, make sure when I can't drive by myself that you drive me to the beauty parlor on Friday. It means so much. And that's Machnis Emotzin. I can't tell you how many Fridays I spent in the local beauty parlor. I'll be honest, the first time I didn't know anything about it, so I sat there. But that was the last time I'd ever sat there. But I used to take my mother there and then ask the beautician, how long will it take? And I would go home or go elsewhere and then come back in order to pick my mom up. But that's the mitzvah of kibud. It means service. That you've got to do different types of things for your parents. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, asked an interesting question, and it says like this: Tana Rabbanan Minayin, how do we know Sheim Amar Lo Aviv Hitamei? That if your father tells you that you've got to become tamei, let's say you're a kohen, and your father tells you that you've got to become impure, something that a kohen is not allowed to do. Osha Amar Lo, or your father tells you Al Tachzir, don't return something. Let's say you found $100 bill, and it was a situation that you would have to return the $100, and your father says, you know what, Eitan, don't give back the $100, keep it for yourself, okay, which would be against the Torah, right? The Torah says you've got to return a lost item, and your father says, disregard it. How do we not know, Shalo Yishmalo, that you're not supposed to listen to your dad, right? If you have a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, that you're supposed to listen to your dad, listen to your mom, how do you know that if they tell you to do something wrong, that you don't have to listen to them? So the Gemara answers Shanamar, because the Pasuk says, Ish imo v'aviv kira'u, a man, his mother and father, they shall fear, v'yashav sosai kishmoru, and my Shabbos you should keep, ani Hashem, I am God. Why in the world in the exact same Pasuk about giving respect towards our parents, should the Torah mention anything about Shabbat? Should it mention anything about Ani Hashem? So the Gemara concludes, Kulchem Hayavim B'chvodi. Everybody is obligated in my honor. Everyone is obligated to follow me. And if I tell you don't become tamei, don't become impure, or if I tell you that you're obligated to return something, you listen to me, you don't listen to your parents in those situations. Over all my 34 years of teaching, I've had so many times that kids come to me and they say to me, Rabbi, I have the following dilemma. My parents want me to live in this and this community, or my parents want me to go and have this and this major in college, or my parents want me this, or my parents want me that. Am I obligated to listen to my parents when my parents tell me to do something when I possibly don't want to do it? Do I have to live my life exactly like my parents want me to? So I'd like to read to you from the Shulchan Aruch in your Adeya Simin Reish Mem, Sif Chav Al, Chasif Chav He. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following. Talmud Sherotza Loleches L'Mako Macher. If we have a student, and this particular young man, he wants to go to learn in this and this place, Torah Academy of this and this place. Why? Because Shehu Boteach, because he is certain, Shehu Simin Bracha B'Talmudo, that he is going to have blessing in his learning. He's going to be successful there, Lefnei Harav Shasham, in order that he's going to be learning from this and this rabbi. And he knows that if he could be in this guy's year, he'll learn a lot more than he'll learn elsewhere. But Aviv Moche, but his father says, no, I don't want you to go to that particular place because of the fact that I'm nervous for you to be there. There might be idolatrous people there that might have some influence on you. Maybe physically your father is afraid to have you in Washington Heights. Hint, hint. So, Eino Sarech L'Shmoa L'Aviv Vazeh. Believe it or not, the Shulchan Aruch tells us you are not obligated to listen to your parents under those circumstances. If your parents tell you that they don't want you to go to this yeshiva, and you want to go, you're allowed to go. Again, how are you going to pay for it? I don't know. But You're not obligated to listen to your parents under those circumstances. And the Rama continues, V'chein, emohav moche b'ben lisa eza isha shayach b'tua. Let's say you decide you fall in love with this particular young lady and you want to get married. And your mom or your dad tells you, I don't want you to go out with this young lady anymore. I don't feel that she's good for you. Again, ha-ben ein sarf l'shmoa el ha'av. Under those circumstances as well, a child is not obligated to listen to his parents. So again, when are we obligated in this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim? We're obligated when we're going to be doing service for our parents. Your father tells you, go get me a glass of water, go get me pancakes with syrup, one of my favorites. So then, of course, then you have to do it for your parents. You have to do service for them. But if your parent tells you, I want you to live in New Jersey versus California, I want you to become a doctor versus an accountant, whatever it may be, then under those circumstances, the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim does not apply at all. The Gemara in Mesechta Kedushin on Daf Lamed Aleph of Ibeid wants to know the famous line of, what are the limits, though, for kibud av v'aim? Ad heifa kibud av v'aim. The Gemara asks, until where is the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim? Listen to this unbelievable line that the Gemara tells us, again, a story that I'm sure most of you know. Amar Lahem, so the rabbi said, Su'u uru, go out and see, ma asa ovid kochavim echad ba'ashkelon. What a certain non-Jew did in the city of Ashkelon, v'dama ben'esina shemo, and dama ben'esina is his name. Pamachat, one time, bikshu chachamim prakmatia, the rabbis wanted to do business, v'shishim ribu shchar, for $600,000. And the key was underneath the pillow of his dad. His dad went to sleep. Under the pillow was the key, and the stone was in a safe. And Tosfos points out that the father's feet were on top of the safe, and therefore there was no way just to take the safe out and blow it up or whatever in order to get the stone for the $600,000. And guess what? Guess what Dama Benesina did? The Lod Sierra. He did not pain him. Right? If any of you could imagine, of course, how much money $600,000 is, but could you imagine if your dad was sleeping and you did not wake up your dad because your dad had told you, don't wake me up under any circumstance. I'm really, really beat. I'm really, really, really exhausted. That's the limits of kibud av v'aim. That you're going to listen to your dad, even if you're going to end up losing a fortune of money. The Gemara actually tells us an unbelievable line, a few lines down, just for time constraint, I'll just say it outside. So the Gemara tells us, what reward did Dama ben Esina get? And believe it or not, the Gemara tells us that a paraduma, a red cow, was born into his flock the following year. The commentaries tell us that we've only had 9 of these paros adumos, only 9 of these red cows have ever been born in existence from the beginning of time until today. And the 10th one will be born shortly before the coming of Mashiach. A couple of years ago, there was a big thing that they did find a cow which was red, but when the rabbis examined it, they did find 2 black hairs. So we're not ready for Mashiach yet, but we're getting closer and closer, that's for sure. And Dama ben Esina knew that he would be able to sell that for all the money that in the world, the rabbis would have paid for it. But he said, I only want the money that I lost because of kibud av v'aim. And he ended up getting his $600,000. But that's the limit for the mitzvah. The Gemara continues and tells us, what about how does one honor your mom? And the Gemara again tells us the story about Dama ben Esina. That Pamach at one time, Hayalavush Serukin Shazav, he was wearing golden embroidered clothing, Vayayoshev in Gedole Romi, and he was sitting amongst the great people of Rome. Uvasa Imo and his mom came in, V'karasa mimenu, she ripped his clothing. V'tafa lo al rosho, and she hit him over the head. V'yarka lo v'funav, and she spit in front of him. V'lo hashlima, and he did not embarrass her. He did not shame her. That's the level of kibbutz, right? A lot of us, if your mom did anything like that to you, or anybody did anything like that, you would say, what the, are you doing? Right? But that's not what Dhamma ben Asena did. And believe it or not, Tosfos points out that Dhamma ben Asena's mother was crazy. She was a sick lady, and sometimes crazy people don't even realize if you would be making fun of them. But believe it or not, Dhamma ben Asena made sure not to do it. I have a lot more Gemaras to share with you, but I just wanted, just because of the time constraint, I know Uncle Maishi is going to be starting, and I told Rabbi Jack that I'd be done at 5 to 10. It's 1 minute to 10. So I'm just going to go one more minute to end with two more points that I think that you guys will enjoy. And that is, you know that Rabbi Schechter wrote three different svarim about the Rav's life. The first one was called Nefesh HaRav. And in Nefesh HaRav, on page Reish Lamed Tes, Rabbi Schechter relates the following story. And he says, Meshach Chafei Shonim, for about 25 years, Kiyum Rabbeinu Mitzvah Kibbutz Av, Rabbi Soloveitchik fulfilled the mitzvah of honoring his dad, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, La'achar Moso, after he died. How did he do it? Shehigit Shiurim Barabim B'leil HaYartzei, B'leil HaYartzei Uviyomo. That on the night and the day of the Yartzeit of his dad, Rabbi Soloveitchik gave big-time Yartzeit Shiurim, where literally hundreds and hundreds of people used to come in order to hear those wonderful Shiurim. And he did that to honor his dad. When his mom passed away, a number of people spoke to him and asked him if he was going to do the same. And he said yes, because he said that if I don't honor my mom with a similar way that I honored my dad, what's going to happen? People will think that there's only a mitzvah of kibbutz av, honoring your dad, and not kibbutz aim. And again, as Rabbi Jacob chose for the title of this year, the ultimate in kibbutz av, I wanted to make sure that we understand that one hand washes the other, and you can't do one without the other. The idea of honoring your dad must mean that you honor your mom as well. And Rabbi Schechter ends, and he said, "Umehai taima hayanoheg lilmod mishnayis barabim af biyom hayortzeit shel imo." That Rabbi Soloveitchik started giving shiurim on the mishnayis shiurim on the yortzeit of his mom as well. Okay, the relationship between parents should be like the relationship that we learn from our great rabbis. In Muncie, we had this unbelievable Talmud Chacham, and his name was Rabbi Kamenetsky. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, who was on the level, let's say, like Rabbi Soloveitchik, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. In fact, I was with Rav Moshe many times when Rabbi Kamenetsky would come in order to speak with Rav Moshe when Rav Moshe would come to Muncie. And it was an unbelievable thing, a story that is said about Rabbi Kamenetsky. And hopefully, you guys, when you get older and get married, and those of you that are already married, will be able to fulfill this idea. And that is, Rabbi Kamenetsky, one time his wife was having trouble with her leg. And they had to go to a doctor, an orthopedist. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, of course, went into the doctor with her. And when the doctor asked, "What's the problem here?" And Rabbi Kamenetsky responded, "Our leg hurts." So the doctor said, "Both of you? Your leg hurts?" And Rabbi Kamenetsky said, "Yes, if my wife's leg hurts, then my leg hurts also." That's a love affair that we have together. And hopefully all of you will be able to experience that. I'd just like to end with the following story. Again, literally I could go on forever and ever, but guys, I got to take a sabbatical. Okay, and that is the following. In the second sefer, Mepnimi HaRav, that Rabbi Schechter wrote about Rabbi Soloveitchik, on page Kuf Nuntes, he relates the following story, an amazing story. One time, there was a person who was a shul rabbi, and his father retired from wherever he lived, And the father came to live in the community where his son was the rabbi. And at the first Shalosh Shudas that he was there, so the gabbai honored the dad by giving him the kos, giving him the cup, and asking him to lead the Birchas HaMazon. And when the father led Birchas HaMazon, he started by saying, Bereshus Harav Bini, or Bini Harav, with the permission of my son, the rabbi. And then continued as far as the benching was concerned. And the son was really, really taken aback, like, wow, I can't believe that my father is honoring me, by my father is saying, Bereshus, with permission of my son, the rabbi. So the rabbi of the shul made an appointment and he came to speak with Rabbi Soloveitchik during that week, and he told him the situation, and Rabbi Soloveitchik started to laugh. And he couldn't believe it. He said to him, Rabbi, I'm coming to ask you a real question. Why are you laughing in my face? So Rabbi Soloveitchik told him the following line, and with this we'll end. When a father says, my son the doctor, my son the lawyer, my son the this, or my daughter the that, do you think he's really giving praise to them? Rabbi Soloveitchik saying, no, he's giving praise to himself. You know that doctor? I'm his dad. You know that accountant? I'm his dad. I'm her dad. So when your father is saying, Bereshus B'ni Harav, what he's really telling everybody is, you know how great this person is? I'm his dad. When I was in Yeshiva University, and therefore, of course, he let his father do it. Last story. It's hard for me to end. The last story. When I was in Rabbi Soloveitchik, when I was in Yeshiva University, we had to take courses on Friday called SR, Supplementary Rabbinic. And every Friday, another rabbi would be there and be talking about different things. And what happened was, is that of course they introduced themselves, they wrote the name on the board, and they would say their name, what they do, and blah, blah, blah. One time, we're coming to Shir, and there was an older rabbi, and this older rabbi just started, and boom, was teaching us all about different things that had to do with one of Rabbi Japter's expertise, everything about Gittin. And everyone is like looking at each other like, who is this guy? So finally, one of the guys in the class had enough nerve, he raised his hand, and he said, excuse me, who are you? So he looked around the room, and he said, none of you know who I am? And everybody said, no, we don't know who you are. So he said, how many guys here know Rabbi Herschel Schechter, the Rosh Kolo? And everybody raised their hand. Of course, we all knew Rabbi Schechter. So he said, I'm his father. So he said, let me tell you a story, and then we'll go back to our topic. He said, I was the rabbi in the Bronx. And of being a shul rabbi, any time there was a bar mitzvah, so I would have to talk about the boy and about his family. During the week of my son's bar mitzvah, my wife kept asking me, Nu, what are you going to say? What are you going to say about Herschel at the bar mitzvah on Shabbat? And there was a big buzz in the Bronx that whole week. So Rav Melech Schechter said, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say something good about him. So after Rabbi Schechter did whatever he had to do at the bar mitzvah, he gets up, Rabbi Melech Schechter, the shul rabbi, gets up and he said, I just want to tell everybody that this week, everybody is saying that it's Rabbi Schechter's son's bar mitzvah. He said, I want to give my son a bracha, that my son should become so famous that I should lose my identity and everyone should know me and Rabbi Schechter's father. And he said, boy, I see that my bracha was kasuya. And I'd like to give all of you the same bracha and tell you that even though all of you hopefully would be able to say at one time or another that I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Grossman, I learned from Rabbi Grossman at TABC, I give all of you a bracha, a blessing, that you should all become so great that people should not say that you learned from me, but they should say that I am your Rebbe, but you guys are the ones that are really, really famous. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for the honor of coming.
Thank you.
And thank you to the TABC and the board.
for the tremendous honor of me being able to teach here for all of these years, and hopefully after I get my health issues under control, hopefully we'll be back in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Goldstein.